Acts chapter 9. And our text for today is that verse 36. Acts 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Joppa. Where have you read about the city of Joppa before? Until we come to Acts 9. It's a place not remembered with any great fondness. Jonah, the prophet, you recall, was familiar with Joppa, this seaport. As we read there in Jonah, the opening verses of his prophecy, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee on the Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. Joppa. Joppa, we see, from the days of Jonah, is associated with disobedience, the disobedience of Jonah. But now we turn to the New Testament and we read once again about Joppa. This time, the circumstances associated with this seaport, Joppa, are very, very different. The name Joppa itself, the name means beauty. So evidently, Joppa was a beautiful place. And when we visit Joppa along with Peter, we find one there who was known for her beauty. We are not speaking about any physical beauty, but most certainly we're speaking about her spiritual beauty, the spiritual beauty of Tabitha or Dorcas. Tabitha was her Hebrew name, Dorcas, her Greek name. It's interesting that the name means gazelle. Now we know the gazelle is a lovely, graceful creature. And this woman in Joppa, this woman Dorcas, certainly lived up to the meaning of her name. She lived up to her name, a name that is only mentioned here, nowhere else in Scripture, but only here in Acts chapter 9. And Dorcas, in many ways, as we will see, is typical of the Christian. Those Christians who are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and yet their names are hardly known. They do a lot of work for the Lord behind the scenes. Such was an individual as Dorcas. So let us consider the life of Dorcas, a woman of great spiritual beauty and loveliness. I want, first of all, to consider Dorcas and her reputation. Being introduced to Dorcas, we're immediately told about her reputation. We're told, first of all, about her witness. Her witness. Look there in our text, verse 36. And there was a Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, a certain disciple. Now, we're not told who else dwelt in the city of Joppa, but we do know that one of the Lord's children dwelt there, reminding us again that the Lord will not leave himself without a witness. And in Dorcas, he had a witness, one who witnessed for him there in Joppa. She was a witness for the Lord there, just as we ought to be witnesses for the Lord wherever we live. Do the neighbors know that we're the Lord's disciples? Do our workmates know that we belong to Christ? Do those in the office know that we serve the Lord? Well, certainly the people in Joppa knew all about Dorcas, especially the widows of the city there. So here was a certain disciple. She was an earnest believer, one who followed the Lord diligently and identifying herself with the people of God. Now, in the days of Dorcas, it was not popular to be a disciple of Christ. It was not popular to make it known that anyone was a follower of the Lord. But then, of course, when is it ever popular? Certainly not in our day. But we see what is written about her in these few verses. Many ways she was like an Old Testament saint. She was like Caleb. Caleb, you remember what was said about Caleb? Because he had another spirit with him and followed the Lord fully. Numbers 14, verse 24. He followed the Lord fully. That word fully means to fill in, or it means to fill up. So you look at the life of Caleb, and he lived a life like Dorcas, that was full of the Lord, full of Christ. That's what it is to be a true disciple, to live a life that is full of Christ, not of self, but of the Savior. Such a person was Dorcas. She lived a life that was full of Christ. That was her witness there in the town. Believer, may we ourselves have such a witness in our town as well. As well as her witness, we notice also her works. Her works. Speaking about following the Lord fully, we see that's what Dorcas did. For we read, this woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. There's that word again. Caleb followed the Lord fully. And here is Dorcas, and she lived a life that was full of good works. Her life was full of service for her Savior. In James 2, verse 26, the Apostle James tells us, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The works wrought by Dorcas was evidence that she had a living, saving faith in Christ. Notice, it's not the works that produce the faith. No, it is rather the faith in Christ that produces the works. And here this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. That was the evidence of her faith in Christ. We, of course, want to please the Savior, just as Mary of old did. You remember when Mary came and anointed the Lord with precious ointment? There was an immediate outcry, led by Judas, of course. And there that individual said this was a terrible waste. You believe that? What this woman did for the Lord, Judas regarded it as a terrible waste. But not only did Judas say that, all the disciples joined in the criticism of Mary when she anointed the Lord. But the Lord came to her side, came to her defense, and the Lord said, let her alone. Let her alone. She had done what she could. That was Mary's testimony, and it's very evident it was the testimony of Dorcas, because she was full of good works and alms deeds. She did what she could. And you know, believer, that's all the Lord expects from us. He expects us to do what we can for him. That's what the Lord said of Mary. She had done what she could. She was full of good works. Paul prayed to that end for the believers at Colossae. Paul said that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge of God. Colossians 1 verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. And so we see that walking worthy of the Lord is linked with doing good works. That was the life that Dorcas lived. When we look upon Dorcas, we see a woman who most certainly lived a life that was pleasing to God and fruitful in every good work. You think of it. When you read those words relating to Dorcas, we see a woman who was most Christ-like. She was like the Savior. For we read in Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who, listen, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Dorcas was like Christ. The Lord Jesus went about doing good. And we see from our text, that's what Dorcas did. She went about doing good and helping and supplying clothes for widows. Oh, that the Lord would work on us in our lives, that we would be more and more Christ-like in all that we do. So we have seen her witness. We've seen something of her works. Notice also her willingness. Her willingness. Yes, we're told she was full of good works. But it doesn't end there. She was full of good works and alms deeds. Wherever you find a Christian like Dorcas, we might say, you'll find many ands in their life. And she was full of good works and alms deeds. She wasn't satisfied was doing the good works. She was carrying out alms deeds as well. And of course, one who's busy for the Lord, there'll be many an and in their life. They'll be doing this and something else and something else and something else. Such was the witness testimony of Dorcas, full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Notice that. Full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. In other words, she didn't make empty promises. What she said, she did it. Full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. There's many a person that you meet with in life, and all the promise to do many a thing for you, and they never do, they never seem to get around to it. That was not Dorcas. She was full of good works and alms deeds. She filled her life with good works and alms deeds. Look at that word. That word alms deeds. That word alms deeds here that we have before us is a word that's translated acts of kindness. So the word alms deeds means acts of kindness. Now you look at Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of kindness. And dear believer, when we do acts of kindness, you know something? The Lord takes note of it. It may be done behind the scenes. You may do some act of kindness, carry out some act of kindness to someone, and nobody sees, but the Lord sees. How do I know? Look at the next chapter, Acts 10 and verse 1. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." And so the alms deeds of Cornelius, the Lord took note of them. What Cornelius had done for other people, the Lord took note. Just as the Lord took note of what Dorcas did. Here it is, recorded in the pages of Holy Writ. Imagine, we don't read about Dorcas anywhere else. But where we do read of her is here in Acts 9, and her alms deeds are mentioned. Her alms deeds are recorded for all to see. She was like the Savior again. Alms deeds, acts of kindness. Sure is not what the Lord's public ministry was filled with. Acts of kindness. Read through the Gospels time and time and time again. We read about the Savior's acts of kindness. Healing the sick. Feeding the hungry. Helping the poor. Lifting up the down and out. Filled with acts of kindness. Let us be like the Savior in this regard also. So we look at Dorcas, what do we see? We see a lovely lady, a beautiful woman, full of good works and acts of kindness. As well as Dorcas and her reputation, we see next Dorcas and her removal. We see just how suddenly this dear Christian woman was removed from the scene. Regarding her removal, we notice first of all her passing. Her passing. Notice the words. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. See what it says? In those days, she was taken away from her good works. She was taken away from her alms deeds, from her acts of kindness. In those days, in the middle of her work for the widows, in the middle of her service for her Lord as a disciple, she was taken away. This shows us, believer, shows us that living faithfully for the Lord does not exempt the Christian from sickness. Certainly not. You think of one of the Old Testament saints. One man, and there's no mention about any sin in his life. A holy man. Who was that holy man? Daniel. Daniel. No mention of sin in his life. And what did Daniel say? And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Daniel 8, verse 27. So there was Daniel. He was a holy man serving the Lord. And lo and behold, we find that he fainted, he was sick. And we read also over in Philippians, and there in the chapter 2, Paul speaks about one of his faithful servants, fellow laborers. Epaphroditus. In Philippians 2, verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, Paul said, my brother, my companion in labor, fellow soldier, and your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. His life was full of good works and acts of kindness. Then we read, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So there was Epaphroditus. We read there all that he did, what he was involved in for the Lord. And yet, lo and behold, we read that he was sick. But that is not always the way it is. For God may in wisdom choose to take his saints away. Even though they're greatly used of the Lord, even though they're full of good works and alms deeds, yet in the wisdom of God, is often taken away some of his choice sins. I think of Robert Murray McShane. Robert Murray McShane went home to be with the Lord in his 30th year. 30th year is referred to as Holy McShane. He lived a holy life. yet the Lord was pleased to take him at such an early age, being involved in the Lord's work, just as David Brainerd was, approximately the same age, and the Lord took them home to be with himself. And here we see that Dorcas was sick and died. That's right. In those days, when she was busy for the Lord, she was sick and she died. And the Lord took her, as well as her passing. We notice also the plea. Now they had taken Dorcas after they had washed the body. They took her up and laid her in an upper chamber, in an upper room. And some of the believers in Joppa heard that Peter, the apostle, was nearby in a place called Lydda. And we are told that they sent for Peter to come to Joppa. There you have the plea. The plea, verse 38, and for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. So they pleaded to make haste and come to them. Now, when you think of that, there's something there that is quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. You say, well, why? Well, did they just want Peter to come and minister to those who were sorrowing? Is that why they wanted him to come? For why would they send for Peter, since Dorcas was dead? Was this not an amazing act of faith that we see here? For up until this point, there was no record of any of the apostles raising the dead. No record of any of the apostles up until this point of any of them raising the dead. So was their sending for Peter not an evidence of their faith in the power of the risen Christ? Why else would they send for Peter other than believing that he, used by God, could raise the dead? Were they aware or were they familiar with what the Lord told his apostles whenever he chose them back there in Matthew chapter 10? What did the Lord say there? And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Peter was included. And so the Lord said to Peter and the other apostles, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, and freely give. Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. So the Lord told the apostles to raise the dead. Then the Savior must have given them the power to do so. And so sending for Peter showed not so much faith in Peter, but faith in the risen Christ, the one who is the resurrection and the life. As well as the passing of this beautiful Christian woman and the plea that went out to Peter, we notice also the prayers. For you see, when Peter entered the upper chamber or room, he found a group of weeping widows there. Look at the verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So there are those widows showing Peter the clothes that she had made for the widows. There were those clothes, those items of clothes that actually were praising Dorcas. This is what Dorcas did, and did it for the widows. Now in Bible times, widows were a very, very needful people. Because losing their husbands, they had lost the breadwinner in the home. They had no other means of income. And what Dorcas did for the widows would have been part of her good works and her alms deeds, or her acts of kindness. So you look at that woman and what the widow showed Peter, would you not agree? Dorcas was a lovely lady. Dorcas was a lovely, beautiful Christian woman. There cared for the needs of the widows with her good works and her acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. Oh, that we might be more like Dorcas. And in being more like Dorcas, we'd be more like Christ. Dorcas is Savior. When Peter entered that room, he was shown the evidence of Dorcas's acts of kindness. And what was said of Abel could easily be said of Dorcas. He being dead, or she being dead, yet speaketh. She lying in that bed, in that upper chamber, life gone from her. What the widow showed Peter spoke for Dorcas. They spoke for her. Spoke to him what a lovely Christian woman she was. Her acts of kindness, her good works. James 1, verse 27. Could be used to describe Dorcas. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Isn't that what Dorcas did? She visited the fatherless and widows in their affliction. What a lovely lady. A lovely lady indeed. Well, we've considered Dorcas and her reputation, Dorcas and her removal. That leads us finally to Dorcas and her resurrection. The account of Peter's raising Dorcas from the dead would be a reminder of how the Lord Jesus raised up the daughter of Jairus. If you were to turn to Mark 5 and look at the verses 34, 43, you would find there many similarities between what the Lord did and what Peter did. Of course, we know you'll never make a mistake whenever you follow the example of Christ, we see first of all what Peter did. We notice his prayer. Look at verse 40. But before he prayed, Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. Well, that's what the Lord did. Before the Lord raised up Jairus' daughter, when he went into the house was full of so-called mourners. They were weeping and wailing. And when the Lord went in and said, "She's not dead, but sleepeth," they immediately laughed him to scorn. And so their sympathy didn't run very deep. But one moment they were weeping and wailing, and the next moment they laughed him to scorn. But what did the Lord do before he prayed? Well, he put them all out. He put them all out. It was just Jairus, his wife, three of the disciples, and the child that lay upon the bed. And the Lord and Peter put them all out. You know why? Because they didn't want to make a show of what they were doing. Put the body of the people out of the house. They didn't want to make a show. So unlike the so-called healers of today, what do? Oh, they hire a stadium, get a few thousand people in, and have all that are sick up on the stage, make a big show of what they do. Men come together to see their antics. The Lord didn't do that. The Lord put them all out. Peter put them all out. And you know, whenever you look at the words of what Peter spoke and what the Lord spoke, they're almost identical. Verse 40, Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, "Tabitha, arise." What did the Lord say? The Lord said to Jairus' daughter, "Talitha, come I, arise." And Peter said practically the same thing, "Tabitha, arise." And we see that the Lord took the damsel by the hand. That's what Peter did. For we read that of Peter, when she saw Peter, she sat up and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. So what the Lord did, Peter did. It's always good to endeavor to do what the Lord does. The Lord then gave the little girl back to her parents, who were astonished and most thankful. That leads us to what Peter did. We have his prayer. We have his presentation. The Lord gave the 12-year-old child back to her parents. Peter, we're told, when Dorcas was raised to light, he called the saints and the widows and presented her alive. Did exactly the same that the Lord did. Lord presented the child back to her parents. And here we find Peter presented Dorcas back to her friends and to the widows. This ought to encourage us, believer, Think of it. There are many, I'm sure, in our family circles, and they're dead in trespasses and in sins. They're far away from God. Well, here was Peter. He prayed, and the Lord raised Dorcas to life. May that encourage us to pray also and pray on for our loved ones, those that are dead in sin, that God in grace and mercy would raise them to life. New life in Christ. We've seen the prayer and the presentation. Next, we notice the product. What did all of this produce? Verse 42, we read, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. That's what the death and the resurrection of Dorcas, that's what it produced. Many believed in the Lord. If you look, just look up the chapter 9 of Acts and verse 35. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. That is, the Lord had healed Aeneas. And as a result, many turned to the Lord. You recall what happened when Lazarus was raised from the dead. John 11, verse 45. Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. And so there, the three examples of people that raised from the dead, it produced salvation in the lives of others. I remember our dear brother, late Dr. Paisley, he used to pray that in Belfast, the Lord would raise a Lazarus from the dead. And what he meant was that the Lord would save some notable sinner. And then people would come to church to find out how that notable sinner's life was changed. So in our times, the cities would need to pray, the Lord will raise a Lazarus from the dead, or the Lord will raise a Dorcas from the dead. What a lovely woman she was. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, acts of kindness, which she did. Amen. May the Lord bless his words to our hearts and enable us to live as Christ did, even to live as Dorcas did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, dear Lord and loving God, we thank thee for the lives of these great saints of old. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless the word to our hearts. That, Lord, we'll not only like to be, want to be more like them, but above all, we'll want to be like Christ. Lord, make us more like the Savior, who went about doing good. His life was filled with many acts of kindness. Lord, continue to bless the work and the witness there in Cloverdale. Lord, meet the need in the days to come. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.